I want to talk this morning about a spiritual house. Amen? About a spiritual house. And for those of you that haven't been coming on our Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the overall topic that we've been looking at on Wednesday nights is worship and how we are to worship corporately and what that looks like and what that means, and really the subtitle under the title of worship, I guess the backstory behind the Bible study is that worship is more than just singing. Worship is more than just singing. It's more than praying and playing some instrument. It involves, literally, it should involve and can involve every aspect of our life. You can worship while you're driving down the road. I don't know if you realize that. You can worship while you're washing dishes. Amen. Isn't that right, Vern? I mean, I got that palm olive dishwasher hands. Glory to God. Worshiping the Lord. Amen. So, you know, but on Wednesday night, we've been talking about, and specifically the last couple of Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and why we've been given them. Amen. Father, before I get too carried away, I just want to exalt you this morning. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. And I want to thank you that you have called me and have challenged me and allowed me, Lord, to be your messenger. And I pray, God, this morning that you would help me to articulate and to communicate your word the way I feel it in my spirit, God, that your people, if we would just receive it, if we would just grasp it, if we would just apply it to our life, that we would see revival within ourselves, that we would see revival in the church, Lord. If we would all be who you have called us to be, Lord, your world would be impacted by your gospel. And for that, I thank you and give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. So what we discovered was that we were not given our gifts so that we could brag about them or boast about them or say, well, my gift's better than your gift and look how God's using me here and look how God's using me there. That has nothing to do with it. You're not more special than the next person because of the gift that you have received. What we're finding out is that the gifts have been given to us to be used for the building of the kingdom of God. Listen, we've got no other agenda. My agenda is not a bank account. My agenda is not a nice fancy building out there in what now is our parking lot. My agenda, and I believe the agenda of the Lord, is literally that we would turn this South County area upside down for the glory of God. That the Spirit of God would begin to manifest itself through your giftings and through my giftings. That everywhere we go, we would impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we've been called to do, folks. Some of us have been given the gift of music, of singing, and of playing instruments. Some of you, God has given the gift of intercession and praying and seeking God for more than what we have. Isn't that what intercession is about? I'm seeking God for more than what I have now. And some of us have been given the gift of preaching, and I'd have never dreamt in a million years that God would use me. I was the biggest heathen that walked the streets of Myrtle Creek, Oregon as a young man. I just was, but God said, you know, I can use that loud mouth. Amen. I can use that guy. So the gifts that we've been given, God wants us to use here's the problem. 90% of the church doesn't know what God's gifted them with. Listen, well, Pastor, what is my gift? I don't know. It's for you to find out. How do I find out? You get in God's Word and you begin to read God's Word and you begin to seek God's face, you know, in prayer and in intercession, and you begin to cry out to God and you say, God, what would you have me to do? God, how have you've created me for more than what I'm doing right now? I love driving log truck and hauling logs, and I love falling timber and skidding logs and loading. I've done almost every aspect in the woods, and I loved every bit of it. But I got news for you. God had more in store for me than all of that. God has more in store, Ray, for you than what you're up to right now. Every one of us, God has more. We don't have it because we're not asking for it. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. In a very real sense, all of this, these giftings and everything, when they become useful to us, and we understand, in a very real sense, we'll find that they are for the building up of a spiritual house. In a very physical fashion, we're going to build a building right out there in that parking lot. It's going to be a beautiful structure. It ain't going to be fancy. It's not going to be all ornate. But it's going to be a place where we wouldn't be a bit embarrassed to bring the highest executive of our government there. But it's not going to be so fancy that the person sleeping under the bridge that for the first time comes by and something of God's Spirit grabs him and pulls him into this parking lot, and he walks into that place and the sign on the front says the perfect place for people who aren't, and he'll say, I wonder if that's true of me. And be able to walk into that place with their head held high and walk out of that place with their name written in glory. There's a new name written down, and it's mine. It's all mine. I'm telling you, that's what I'm looking for. And this is what I said on Wednesday night. I said, the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man. I don't care who you are this morning. In fact, you might not even be saved this morning, but God has still put in your heart, in your spirit, He has created you with a gift. He's given you something that He wants to use, not to boast you, but to glorify God, to advance His kingdom. I hope you like this as much as I do. The giftings of God are not only given to the educated and the outstanding. Amen. Let me just tell you something I've found out as a preacher and as a child of God. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Amen. Listen, I don't have a bunch of degrees. The reality is, I don't even have a high school diploma, but God began to download stuff into me, and I had to go through some courses, and I had to read God's Word, and I've had to spend a lot of time in prayer, and I took some online Bible courses, and my wife is so proud of it, because if you go to South Umpqua High School, they probably won't give it to you, but if I go out there, which I did, because I thought it'd be real smart, and got my GPA, I told him to keep it. Just go ahead and file that. It's bad. It's bad. It's one point something. I'm not even kidding you. That's bad. I don't know if you know that, but four is like really good. One point something is like really bad. But I took some college courses to prepare for God to use me. And you know what I did? I got on an honor roll. Who laughed? Who laughed? Where's the ushers? Get some. I heard somebody laugh. This is the perfect place for people who are not perfect. You're led by somebody that is not perfect. Your pastor is not perfect. Listen, I'm not proud of my GPA. And the only reason I bring it up is to say, listen, if God can use somebody like me, He can certainly use every one of you. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And you need to understand that. Well, you're special, Pastor. Well, I know that, but I'm not that special. It's the anointing. Listen, in the Bible, he used a donkey to preach. If he can use a donkey, he can use you and I. Every single believer has been given some spiritual gift by the Spirit of God. It is not given because it is needed within the church and the world. Let me get this right. I didn't say that right. Every single believer is given some spiritual gift by the Spirit of God, comma. And it is given because it is needed within the church and within the world. It's needed to help in the ministering to people and to reaching the lost for the cross of Christ and for the cause of Christ. That's why He's given us gifts. And this morning I want to carry this on and further the purpose of the gifts in a little bit of a different light. I'm going to ask you this morning to stand with me and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read from another loud mouth. Another somebody that knows how to get in trouble, but God took all of that and turned it around for His glory and for His honor. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, go down to verse 5, and when you're there, stand and let's read God's Word. Are you there? You also, guess who He's talking to? He's talking to you also. Amen. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Here's one. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's also contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you, say me. You are a chosen generation. Think about that just for a moment, church, before I finish reading this. God, you are chosen. Young people over here, you are chosen by God. I don't care what the world has to say. You need to know this morning that you're not just some kid. You have been chosen by the God of all creation. For a purpose and for a plan. You know what I was thinking this morning, Johnny? I was thinking, that young man right there, the way you worship, and the way you just abandon yourself to God, you could end up probably being a preacher someday. I'm not surprised. I'm not a bit surprised. As a young man, you've gone through some stuff. Amen? Listen, I'm not just trying to toot your horn or any of that. I'm just trying to tell you. You're a royal priesthood. Keely, you're a royal priest. You're a king's kid. Woo! You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're His own special people that we may proclaim. Why? That we may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God, we thank You this morning, Lord, that You have called us a chosen generation. You have labeled us a royal priesthood. You have made us a holy nation. And God, You have called us Your own special people. The reason why is that we might proclaim Your praises to of Him who called us, Lord, every one of us out of the miry pit, out of the darkness of hell, out of the darkness of sin, into the marvelous light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we were once a people. We were not a people, but now we are Your people. And God, I thank you, Lord. I need your anointing this morning to preach your word, God. Help your people to be anointed this morning to receive not some word that some fancy preacher has to say, but God, that your spirit would dictate your word to them this morning. That we'll leave this house changed by the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Church, I want for us to really understand who we are in Christ. Because here's the thing. When you understand who you are in Christ, it will impact how you live. When you figure out who you are in Christ, it will impact how you live. Amen. Let me just tell you something, Rich. If somebody gave you $1 million this morning, my guess is it would impact the way you live. A person that just gets set free from prison, they maybe been in there for 10, 15 years. When they get on the outside, the way they've been living changes. When you're a sinner living for the devil, well, I never really lived for the devil, Pastor, even before I got saved. Yes, you did. Because you can't have it both ways. You either serve one, or you serve the other. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And when you come out of that darkness and begin to walk in His marvelous light, your life has to change. There will come change simply because you have a new identity. We need to understand who we are in Christ. And we also need to understand what we're to do with that understanding. I've been born again. So what does that give me? Fire insurance? Yeah, to some degree it does. But it also gives me a story that I can tell. I can tell you how bad I used to be. I can tell you the things that I've done in my life that I'm not proud of, that I'm probably going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for. I'm grateful this morning that the grace of God is covering it. I'm grateful this morning that His Word says, I will remember your sin no more forever. I'm grateful this morning that God said my sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. I'm grateful for that. And I've got a story to tell people because they need to know. It don't make a difference how bad you've been, Dennis. God has and can and will set you free. I promise you, church, I stand here before you today set free by the power of Almighty God. Do I still battle? I sure do. Do I still have problems? I sure do. Do I still screw it up? I sure enough do. But God. See, Peter described believers as living stones because they're made alive in Christ, who is the living stone. And these stones have been cut into shape for building materials. They're not just some boulder, not just some field stone randomly gathered. And you and I must ask, am I willing to be shaped and used as a living stone for God's purpose? Am I willing to allow God to knock some of the rough edges off of my life so that I will fit in my place in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual house of God? Listen, we're building a building out there, church, without question. But every part of it, Tom, every piece of it, the boards have to be cut the right length. The concrete has to be laid in just a certain fashion. The wiring has to be done just in a certain way. Why? So that it'll be functional. And God wants you and I to figure out what our place is in the house of God so that we will be functional. Help us, Lord. Help us be willing to be shaped. See, if these stones or if us are living, then what activity should we be doing? Well, first of all, we should welcome being built into a spiritual house. Can I just tell you something? When we begin to put boards together in the new house that we're going to build for the Lord, those boards no longer have the opportunity or the authority to say, I don't want to be a part of the building anymore. See? Somebody's car is calling for help. It'll quit. Battery will run dead. I don't care. We need to welcome being built into a spiritual house. The Greek word here for house is oikos, and it is often used in reference to the temple in Jerusalem. And Peter was using words that would normally describe the activity in the temple to describe God's new house here on earth. This spiritual house that's being made up of believers. Peter was using a spiritual application to a physical identity. So he portrays, Peter portrays the church as a living spiritual house with Christ as the foundation and with Christ as the cornerstone and every believer as a valuable element. See, here's what you got to understand. Whether you're here today from California, whether you're here from Camas Valley, whether you're here from Timbuktu or Lower Borislambodia, I don't care. If you're a part of the body, you have a place in the spiritual house of God. Amen? Because He's not just building this church, He's building His church. And you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And wherever we go, listen, when you left California to come here this morning, you didn't leave the Holy Ghost there. He came with you. You know why? He dwells in you. He lives in you. When you left Green this morning to come down here and to be a part of this service this morning, the Holy Ghost's presence came with you this morning. Why? Because you're the tabernacle. You're the tent of dwelling. We're being built into a spiritual house, and Peter is using these words, and he portrays the church as a living spiritual house, and Christ is the foundation. And Paul goes on to portray the church as a body with Christ as the head, and each believer as a contributing member. You know what when I was putting this message together this morning, early in the morning, I was thinking about this, and when I got to this part, and the Lord starts filling me with object lessons, and you know what I want? I wanted a mannequin. In the worst way, I wanted a full-sized mannequin. All tore apart. Scattered all over the building. A leg laying under your seat. An arm over here and the head over there and a foot. And then I was going to have, I had this all pictured in my mind. The problem is, I didn't have a mannequin. And I didn't think any of you were going to sign up. And I was going to begin, I could see me calling different ones because I would obviously know where the parts and the pieces were. And to call different ones of you to the church, to the front, and we'd begin to assemble all of these pieces that would eventually begin to look like a completed body. Some of you are a foot. Some of you are a knee joint or an elbow. Or an ear or an eye or a finger or a thumb. But when it all comes together, we become the body. And when the body, think about when the man of God was taken out by the Spirit over a valley that was dead, dry, filled with bones. An entire army was laid dead in that place. And he said, a man of God, can these bones live? He said, you know, oh God, you know that they can live. He said, prophesy. In other words, he said, speak to those dead, dry bones. And he called them out and he said, rise up. And they began to come together, bone upon bone. And he and sinew began to come and muscles began to come and ligaments began to come. And all of a sudden there before them was standing an entire army that was come from a bunch of dead, dry bones, church. And they come together, bone to bone. And he said, prophesy. He said, prophesy. Breathe life. And he called them forth. And the breath of God came and flew into those people. And they became a mighty army standing before the man of God. That's what I'm talking about. When every one of us begin to walk in the callings and the giftings of God, we cannot help but be an army. God, listen, I get wound up because I feel this in my spirit. I want you to feel in your spirit. I want you to begin to say, God, what? And I want what He has. I want something more. I want you to be dissatisfied with where you're at spiritually. Like walking through this food line over here in about an hour and a half or 2 hours when I get done. And you ain't the first hog at the trough. And you're way back in the line. But this morning at family time, you're over here checking it out. And you're going, oh, good Lord. Boy, I can't wait to get up there. And there's just one meatball left in the bucket. And so you take it. And you're sitting at the table. I'm drawing you a picture here. Pay attention. And you start cutting it thin because it's the only one you got. And you start eating that dude. And now there's no more meatball left. You think, man, I wish I had more meatballs. I sure wish I had more meatballs. And you begin to salivate a little bit. And maybe even begin to drool. And you look at Dennis and he's still got 17 on his plate. And you start thinking, I want what he's got. I want more. I tasted a little bit of it and it was so good and I want some more. I want to create in you something that says, I gotta get closer to God some way, somehow. I've got to get more of God in my life. I'm not satisfied. I'm dissatisfied with where I'm at. And Paul portrays the church as the body. Christ is the head. He says this in Ephesians 4:15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow into all things, into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective. It's effective. God's Word is effective. It's not only effective, it's infective. And I hope that God this morning, you get infected with His Spirit this morning. It is the effective. I don't know where I'm at. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and for the edifying of itself in love. What does it mean to edify? Edification means building up. The church needs to be built up. The church will be built up when this happens. When every part does its share. What are you... Listen, the Holy Spirit just messing with me this morning. What are you contributing to the growth of the body of Christ? What are you contributing? You got to ask yourself. I can't answer that. What are you contributing? See, both of these pictures, what Peter said, by the way, which Peter portrays the church as a living spiritual house with Christ as the foundation and cornerstone, and every believer is a valuable element. Paul portrays the church as a body with Christ as the head and every believer contributing member. Both pictures emphasize community. Both pictures emphasize community. One stone is not a temple. One stone's not even a wall. One body part is useless without the others. And in our individualistic society, we can easily forget our interdependence with other Christians. We need one another. David needed Jonathan. Paul needed Silas and Timothy. Jesus needed the disciples. I need you. Christ needs you. When God calls you to a task, remember this. He's calling others to work with you. He's calling others to work with you. Together, our individual efforts will be multiplied. The Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says two are better than one. It's plain. He speaks it very clearly. We need to look for people and join with them to build a beautiful house and a beautiful palace, a beautiful place, a beautiful body for Christ. Christ is the head of this body of believers. And its source, without Him, there could be no body and there would be no church. Ichabod would be written above the doors of this church. The glory of God has departed. Let that never be spoken of this church. Christ is the head of the body. For Him alone, the body grows and builds itself up in love. The reference to growing and building refers not so much to increased size as increased faith and spiritual strength. How do I increase my strength? How do I increase my faith? I'll tell you how you increase your faith. You take steps in faith, steps of faith. You begin to believe things that are beyond who you are. This body corporately is taking a huge leap of faith in building a building out there. People around this town are going, I don't know how in the world you're ever going to do it. I've had people tell me, that's not going to happen. And I tell them, wrong answer. It is going to happen. You know why? Because God is bigger than what any man thinks. In fact, I could say this morning that I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is God has already paid completely for that building out there. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. I'll let that sink in. It's true. It's true. It's true. When we were building our building in St. George, I remember one morning a man walked up to us and said, here's a check. Opened the check and it was a check for $200,000. Whoa. Don't tell me that it can't happen. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've walked in it and experienced it. I know what God can do. God wants to do some crazy miracle stuff. He's just looking for some people that will believe that He can actually still do that stuff. And I just happen to be that guy. Increase can occur because Christ as head supplies all the needs of the body. I shall supply, he said, all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what God said. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you that's what God said. Can I get an amen from somebody? God said it. See, the ligaments are the joints, the junctures, the links that join together the various limbs at the point of contact. And the description of believers joined and held together by every supporting ligament describes the bond in Christ that holds the church together. Think about that. We've had people come to this church and leave because they didn't like something I said. You know what happened? They had to come back. They came back because God wouldn't let them leave just because they didn't like something that was said. By the way, I might say something you don't like. That's just a, what do they call that? That's a disclaimer. That's right. That's a disclaimer. If you, if you're mad at what I say, take it up with God, not me. Unless I'm completely out of line according to God's Word. The ligament provides the means of support. I tore my ACL out years ago, deer hunting. No, I did not take that as a sign. But I can tell you this much. I didn't have much support in my leg because that ligament was destroyed. I mean, that thing had flop around. It was crazy. The ligament provides the means of support. And as a contact point between the parts of the body, as a way to transfer strength and balance. Joined, the word joined in this scripture, the word joined means integrated. You ever just be reading God's Word and a word pops up that's not some special word, it's just some little word like joined? And we think we know what joined means. We think we know what it means to be integrated. We think we know what it means to integrate some things. Well, I had that moment this morning, and so I began to search out what does the word integrated mean. And this is what it means. To integrate means to combine one thing with another so that they become a whole. I'm talking W-H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-E. They're vastly different. Vastly different. To integrate means that you combine one thing with another thing so they become a whole. So when the body of Christ begins to be integrated, Glenda will join the body. She will bring something to the body. Bill will bring something. Ray will bring. Dennis will bring. Charlie will bring. Mike will bring something to the body. Keely will bring something to the body. And when the body all comes together and contributes their part, it will become a whole. How many of you know we can do a lot better whole than fragmented? Joined means integrated, being fitly joined together as a fastening joint in a house or construction, as a shoulder joint for the body. Being held together means that we're united. We're being kept firm as in reconciling those who have quarreled. Ooh. What? Did you hear what I said? Held together means that we're united. We're being kept firm. The reference is in reconciling those who have quarreled. You ever quarreled with somebody and then after the quarrel, you don't want to have nothing to do with them? They made me mad. Well, get over it. Deal with it. Let God heal that wound. Let God begin to bring... He is a God, church, of reconciliation. He's a God that wants to bring folks back together. I haven't talked to them in nigh on to 40 years. Well, today's your day. You better get on the phone and call them up. Say, listen, I've been carrying this grudge. I'll get to it later. We carry these things around and we wonder why we don't have joy and liberty in our life. Several Sundays ago, I preached a message about having aught with somebody, about having something in your life. And can I just tell you, since I dealt with that thing that day, I dealt with it that day. You know why? Because God brought somebody right here to this church that I had an issue with. And He said, you got to take care of it. If you're going to stand in the pulpit and preach about it, you better go out in the parking lot and deal with it. I didn't want to. But I did. And can I just tell you something? My preaching's been completely different since then. It has. I'm beginning to hear fresh and anew from God in my spirit. Listen, if you're dealing with, if you've got aught against somebody, if you harbor something, if you had a quarrel with somebody, you better go get that thing taken care of. Do it. It might not be comfortable. It sure wasn't for me. But the after effect is worth it all. Members of the body receive exactly what we need, and we are responsible, church, to use what we have for the good of the whole body. We receive gifts not for our own prestige, not for our claim, but to help build up other believers in the church. Look at 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, who had not obtained mercy. But now have obtained mercy. If God has given you and I mercy over our foolishness, over what we've done, don't you think that you owe it to somebody else that you're holding a grudge against to show them a little mercy? I just think it would be pleasing to God. As believers, we're a chosen, distinct group from the rest of the world. We've been unified by the Holy Spirit. And just as the nation of Israel had been God's chosen people, as Christians, we have become God's people, not by some physical birth but into a certain race, but by spiritual rebirth into the family of God through Christ Jesus. I've been born again. That's why that's important, church. Well, I go to church and I sing and I pay tithes and all that. That's wonderful. But have you been born again? Have you been adopted? Have you been grafted into the vine? See, we as believers, we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I remember when I was a youth pastor and I was at a youth convention in Portland. And a guy asked me, we introduced ourselves and he asked me who I was. And I said, well, I'm just a youth pastor. And he stopped me right dead in my tracks and he said, you are not just a youth pastor. You are speaking into the lives. You are shepherding. You are guiding and directing young people. What you do with those young people can change and affect the entire world. You're not just a worship leader. You're not just a youth pastor. You're not just a member, an attendee of Harvest Christian Assembly. You are a chosen generation. He chose you for such a time. Can you just stop for a second and just imagine this? You have been chosen for such a time as this. You could have been born in the 1800s, riding horses, having shootouts in the street with John Wayne. You could have been a wagon master, bringing folks across the great plains of Nebraska. And Ohio and Colorado and all through there. You could have been a wagon. But no, God had you specially designed for today. For right now. To be a part. To impact this world. We are His special people. This phrase literally is translated, a people for His possession. If anybody ever asks you, are you possessed? You should say, yes. Yes, I am. Ha ha! I'm possessed with the Holy Ghost of God. He's filled me to overflowing. I bubble over every now and again. I just get wild and crazy. Can't keep my feet on the ground because there's something of the Holy Ghost that wells up inside of me. I hope some of it splashes on you. Exodus 19 and 5 says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. Think about that for a moment. Let that sink in. You jump over to Malachi 3 and 17, and it says this, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. Not a little mighty. He's almighty. Look at what He says. This is not a question. It's not will they, it's they will. Don't flop them words around. Read it just the way it is put in the Scripture. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. See, God's special people, His special treasure, His treasured possessions are you and I, are all those who are faithful to Him. That means us. Isaiah 43 and 21 says, this people I have formed for myself. Ha ha! For myself. For myself. It goes on to say, they shall declare my praise. Are you, in fact, declaring His praise? Are you talking about the craziness that goes on in these four walls on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, on Tuesday night, on Thursday morning, on Friday night? I got scolded this week, by the way, for having men's night on Friday night. I got scolded for that. Because Friday night is date night. I said, I got a date with about 25 guys and I'm not weird. Well, a little weird. I know what team I'm playing for. See? We need to be talking about what God's doing in your life. And if you ain't got nothing to talk about, you need to get with God and figure it out. We're not redeemed, church, just so we can enjoy our redemption. We're not redeemed just so that we can proclaim our own praises. We're redeemed with a special purpose. We've been redeemed to glorify and to praise the one that's called us out of darkness. He's taken us out of sin and of our hostile surroundings and put us into the light of His eternal presence. I once was blind, but now I can see. I love that song that John sang, "It Is Well." Because the backstory to that song is tragic. It's tragic. The man of the house, the father, the husband, got on a ship and went across the ocean. And when he had established himself in a foreign land, he called back and sent for his family to come and join him. And when they were about halfway across the ocean, the ship sank and they drowned. And he got on another ship and he went out and he said, "To the best of your knowledge, where did they sink? Where did they die? Where did the ship have its problem?" "Well, it's just about right here." The captain of the ship that he was on said, "It's about right here." And he penned the words of that song on that day. "It is well. It is well." His whole family had died that day. But he saw the sovereignty of God and he said, "It is well. Christ prevailed." Praises can be translated as wonderful deeds or excellencies. Refers to the moral excellence and virtue. We are to proclaim who God is and what He's done, specifically the act of salvation. Let me ask you this question. How do we proclaim who He is? We proclaim Him by conducting our lives so that our lives manifest the character of God. It's one thing, folks, for us to say, "Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I've been born again. Yes, I've been baptized. Yes, this, yes, that, yes, the other thing." It's a whole different thing to walk out what you're talking. Amen. Telling others of the salvation that He accomplished is another way to proclaim who He is. To tell people what He's done for us and of His work in our individual lives. Let me just tell you what God has done for me. You have a story to tell. And you can tell it like no one else. When a father puts a youngster on his knees, or a grandfather puts a youngster on his knees, when they give them a hug, when we tell them how much we love that child, neither one of us doubt that message. Of all the children in the world, some of them might be brighter. Some of them might be healthier. Some of them might even be troublesome. I'm talking about my kids. Okay? If it fits with you, that's you. But I'm just using my family. Of all the children in the world, some may be brighter. Some might be healthier. Some might be less troublesome. But you are special. You are mine. Man, our kids, our grandbabies, they ought to never question whether or not mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and cousin, we are a family and we love one another without condition. That child later will crawl into bed at peace with his world. At peace. God gives us the same tender mercies. You can lay your head down tonight on your pillow knowing that you're a child of the Most High God. And should God come calling during the middle of the night, when you're sitting in the house and all the power goes off, bam, and all of a sudden you're in the dark except for the light of Jesus Christ. And He pierces that darkness. And He calls you by name. I can lay my head down tonight at peace with the world. God gives you and I that tender treatment. He wants us to know that if not a bounce and a squeeze, surely the equivalent in peace and affirmation, we are God's special people. Listen, somebody needs to hear this morning, you are God's special person. Nothing irritates me more and makes me madder and makes me want to get in the flesh than to hear somebody say, yeah, I was an accident. No, you weren't. Yeah, my folks didn't mean to have me. They had me way later on in life. And so I was just an accident. No, you're not. You're divinely appointed by God. Mom and Daddy might not have knew what was going on, but God sure enough did. And you were born for such a time as this. Don't forget that. People often base their self-concept on their accomplishments, but our relationship with Christ is more important than your job. Your relationship with Christ is far more important than your job. It's far more important than all of your successes. It's far more important than all of your wealth or your knowledge. God has chosen us as His very own, and we have been called to represent Him to others. Remember that your value, listen, remember that your value comes from being one of God's children, not from what you can achieve. Not from what you can achieve. You and I have worth because of what God does, not because of what we do. Ephesians 2 and 10. I'm just going to keep pounding this home until we get it. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Greek word translated workmanship is what we derive our English word poem. When was the last time you thought of your life as a poem? It means that which is made. It literally means a manufactured product. God said in His Word that you were created. Can I just be blunt this morning and tell you that you're way more complex than mom and dad coming together some night or day or morning or whatever, and 9 months later, bam, Johnny popped out. Here's Johnny. Woo! Look what mom and dad did. Mom and dad had very, very little to do with the whole process. You were knit together, the Bible. I've watched Judy knit. I've watched people crochet. I've watched people just do this. I can imagine the hours that you literally spent putting that quilt together. I mean, you didn't just say, well, I'm going to go and buy some stuff and throw it in a box and pull it back out of the box like some kind of magic trick. No, there were hours and hours spent cutting each little piece of cloth so that it fits just perfect. And the Bible said that God knitted us together. He created us. He designed us. We're created in His image and in His likeness. He knows exactly what He wired you to do. He's given you the gift. You might not be an educated person, but you got wisdom and knowledge at your disposal. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to him without liberality. It's the only way I get through it. I'm just telling you. Our conversion is not the end. Our conversion's not the end, it's the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. We are a part of God's new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. And God continues to work in us to make us what He wants us to be. You not happy where you're at and what you're doing? Get with God. He'll help you right out. He'll fix you up quick, fast, and in a hurry. I promise you. His purpose, church, is to make us more like Christ. I'm done. And the church said, amen. Bow your heads with me, because I'm really not done. I was teasing. I'm going to ask you to pray, church. Because that person seated next to you today, you might not know them. You might not know what they're going through. You might not know what they walked away from to come into this place this morning. You don't know what might be waiting for them when they get back home. You don't know what they could be faced with tomorrow morning on the job. You don't know what kind of health report that we may have received. I'm going to ask you to pray for that person seated next to you. Maybe that person has showed up here today, maybe thinking it was by accident, but in reality it's been a divine appointment with God. And God is saying to you this morning, if you've never accepted me as Lord and Savior of your life, today's your day. See, the Lord said in His Word that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would have and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I said God's not willing. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. There's a choice that has to be made. I said earlier, you're either serving the devil or you're serving God. And unless you've been born again, unless you have on purpose committed your life to Jesus Christ by default, because of what Adam and Eve did clear back in the garden, you were born with a sin nature. And in order for your sin nature to be overruled, you've got to have a new nature put in you. You've got to have a different spirit applied in your life. And the Bible says that when every person gets born again, they receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about being baptized in the Spirit. I'm saying you receive the Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in your life. And this morning, I'm asking you today, have you in fact accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I can't make it any more plain than that. And if you have not, you need to. Because if you do not and you die, you will go to a devil's hell, a place that is void of the presence and the power and the Spirit of God. And you will regret never accepting Jesus Christ. I'm just being real honest this morning. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I need to make that decision. In fact, I'm making that decision right now. I choose to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I want to commit my life to Jesus. I was saved at one point, but man, life happened and I got carried away and I fell back into the world and was living like hell. But now I want to come back before the Lord. I want to ask God to forgive me and restore me and rewrite my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that's you today, and raise your hand because I want to pray with you too. God's not done with you. You've not been so bad that God can't save your soul right now. If that's you, raise your hand. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Maybe somebody by way of the internet has got their hand up saying, yeah, pray for me, preacher. Well, I can't see it. So by faith this morning, I'm going to pray the prayer and I'm going to ask you to join with me this morning. And if you're watching by way of the internet and your hand is up, if you'll pray this prayer, you'll be just as saved as anybody else. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Create in me a new heart, a new life, a new spirit. Help me to walk in your way. Help me to live for you and to tell others what you've done for me. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for my name being written down. And I thank you that I'm your child from this day forward. And I determine, as you guide me by your Spirit, that I will walk according to your ways from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Church, I'm telling you, God is a good God and He wants us to be all that He has created us to be. Amen? Well, I just want to invite everybody to stick around for our family potluck today. And whether you brought something or not, doesn't matter. We'll have plenty for you. And so I want to invite you to stay for that. Fellowship around your table. Let me just ask God to bless the food. Father, bless this food. Bless the hands that prepared it, Lord. I pray the fellowship around every table would be sweet. God, that you'd be the focal point of this day. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's